I assume you showed up because you know today we're going to talk about wives submit. Ephesians chapter 5. The interesting thing is that this lesson goes across any relationship. Submission is characteristic of the Christian life. And the word submission just means to yield. And a lot of the things that work in marriage will work friend to friend. And we'll draw those analogies for you. Now, we started down this path talking about how to stay full of the Spirit, because staying full of the Spirit is one of the keys to victory. It's speaking to yourself and singing to yourself, constantly giving thanks. And then the third thing is submitting. That's the thing sometimes that we overlook. We know we should speak the word. We know we can sing and pray in our understanding and in the Spirit. We are not as cognizant as we should be of giving thanks. But then we're less cognizant even of submission. Now, submission is not obedience. One writer puts it, yield to obey. That's as close as I think the Greek comes, as they've come to the Greek. Obedience, and the reason we throw that word out is because in most minds, words change over the years. For instance, we sing a song, The Holy Ghost Takes Control. Now, that's an innocent song. I understand the spirit in which it was written, but the strongest meaning of take is to seize by violence. And every time I hear us say, the Holy Ghost, take control, I can see the Holy Ghost coming along, grabbing you by the throat and saying, I'm taking control here. And you know that isn't going to happen. You have to yield control. So words make a tremendous difference. And the strongest meaning of the word obey that we have in our heart is to do what you're told, when you're told, if you're told, and don't question, and just go on with life. Gives you no opinion, no outlet, no say-so. And that certainly isn't the context of this scripture. Now we have submitting yourselves one to another. In the fear of the Lord. Submitting yourselves one to another, or yielding one to another, or just being agreeable one another, or preferring. One writer, one Bible translator, says, honor Christ and put others first. Honor Christ and put others first. Now, the reason you can do this is because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. When you got born again, you received eternal life. You became a new creature, a new spirit being. You received eternal life, which is the very nature of God. Eternal life doesn't mean to live forever. That's just a part of eternal life. The sinner's going to live forever, but he doesn't have eternal life. So eternal life is possessing the nature of God. And well, God is love. That's his nature. And if he poured his love into you, his nature into you, which is love, and love is always unselfish, then it's going to be an easy thing for you to draw from the spirit man, the new spirit man that's growing in God on the inside, and to put others first, to love others. If you love others, you put them first. In other words, before I think of what I need and what I want, what you can do for me, I'm constantly cognizant of how I can be of help to you. Now keep your finger in Ephesians. We'll be back and forth. But look at Romans chapter 12. If we realize this is who we are in Christ, and it's going to be easier to walk with Christ than to walk contrary to his word, contrary to his will, and contrary to the nature you have within you. You know, if you wanted a watchdog, you wouldn't pick Pekingese. We always had Pekingese, and I'm going to tell you, they're not watchdog. Their idea of a heavy day is to find a square of sunshine and sit all day. And that's why I liked them, because they're low-key. I don't like to be leaped on. They have the kind of personality I like. Well, you have a certain personality. It's in the Spirit. It's what you are in Christ. It's the love of God shining through you. And the love of God always says, can I help you? How can I help you? What can I do for you? Now, this word submission is going to transition our relationship as friends into the relationship of marriage. And it isn't a different word. It's the same word. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, in honor, preferring one another, or deferring to one another. In other words, yielding to one another. It's a similar word to the word submission. Defer, yield, prefer. That's the way of love. That's the way of the Christian. I would never run over you. Now, I know everybody gets tired. I have a day when I get tired, and I'm tired of submitting. Don't you have those days? You just want somebody to do for you, bring to you, give to me. And when Wayne gets up, I say, could you get me a, could you bring me a? I try to avoid that. Everybody has selfish moments. But the impact of the scripture is Christ in you and God in you flows out of you in great might and great power to love others, to consider them, and to meet their needs. We have a similar passage in Philippians chapter 2. You know, if you know the rules, if you know who you are in Christ, if you know what God's done in you, then you can reach down into the heavenly resources that he's given you and let those resources shine through you. In Philippians chapter 2. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves, or value others more than you value yourself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. My interest is what you need, not what I need. And I'm yielding to God to make that possible, because in the flesh, just yielding to my flesh, the flesh is going to say, I have rights. You can't do that to me. Well, I'm tired. Don't you get it? I'm tired. And we want to defend ourselves, and we want somebody to, you know, like the old, you remember when you could pull up at the restaurant and they'd come to the curb and put the tray on the window? That's what you want, somebody to come to the curb of your heart and put the tray on the window and say, what can I do for you? How can I help you? You're just sick and tired of being the helper. Don't that ever happen to you? Does it happen to you? It happens to me just every now and then. I have to talk to myself, because who I am in Christ should supersede the way of the flesh, and the way of the flesh is always selfish. So it says, esteem others, value others. If I know that's my goal, that's directive. You know, you when you put a football player on the field, he knows the goals, he knows the rules, he knows the managers, he knows how to keep score. You just don't throw somebody out there because they're muscular, because they look good in a uniform. They've been to practice. Well, this is practice. And this road is leading to heaven. We're practicing the will and the way of God. We're practicing letting God reign and rule in our life. We step into his presence and receive that well done. Well done. You know, how does that sound to you? Poorly done, Becky. Oh, so poorly done. Does that sound good to you? Does that sound right to you? Poorest effort I've ever seen. I at least want God to say, I've never seen anybody miss it as far as you did and try as hard as you did to get it right. I at least want that much. At least that. And so we're going to submit one to another. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to yield and value one another. We're going to consider others better than ourselves. The word gracious is used in the scripture, especially in the Old Testament, means inclined to bestow a favor. It means I want to do something for you. Gracious people are looking for something that they can do. They're always alert and aware of where you've stumbled or what you said you would need one day. My grandmother was very gracious, and she's all the time. You couldn't go to her house that she didn't offer you something. We called her Great Granny because we came from a legalistic family. And I thank God we've been delivered into the principles of the Word and not the law of the Word, because the letter of the law kills. And I can tell you a personal experience, it does just choke the very life out of you and do great damage to families. But she always wanted you to have something, and she had size 5 foot. Well, I don't have a size 5 foot. And one day she offered me her new slippers. But she's not going to let you go empty-handed. You've got to have something. She was gracious. She wanted to be a blessing. She's looking for an opportunity to do something for you. If I put my arms out like this, she'd fit right under my arm. Very, very tiny. 65 pounds when she went to be with the Lord. She'd get down to 65 pounds, and she lived in an assisted living program, and they'd want somebody to come get her and fatten her up, you know. So I'll tell you how that worked. She'd go to live with Mom and Dad, and every night Dad would fix them ice cream. And she'd stir hers until it got liquid and pour it down the drain when he wasn't looking. She did, and he always ate his. So when they finally sent her back to the assisted living program, she still weighed 65 pounds, but Daddy was always up 10. I mean, just about every time, you know. And there are people, as you submit to them, as you yield to them, they don't want your help. They don't want your assistance. You can't fix them. You have to fix you. You can't, whatever the other person does is not on your shoulders. Even in a marriage relationship, I can't make Wayne do anything. We've married 46 years. I figured that out early on. You have to trust God and do what you can do and walk with God yourself. Now, we're going to submit or yield to one another. Now, that same word, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves. Do you see it says submitting yourself, verse 21? That means I made this choice. You know, if that word was obey and it was you do what I tell you to when I tell you to and you have no choice, you can't obey yourself. We'd have to delete the word yourself. You can't obey yourself. And if one of us is going to obey and the other one's going to have no choices, is it going to be me obey or you obey? Who's going to be the obedient one? Who's going to give the orders? You see, it's the word obedient there. Obey is not a good word there. The writer that said yield to obey had it closer to being right. Now, that same word, wives, submit, it hasn't changed. It's the same word. It means to yield. Wives are gifted to yield. The strongest thing you have as a Christian, friend to friend, and as a wife is your ability to yield. You have God-given ability to be agreeable and to yield. It's going to be easier to walk with God to yield than to support your own idea and concept and to demand your own way. And it says you submit yourself. So Wayne didn't kidnap me. I chose this role. He didn't place me in the trunk of the car, carry me off across the Georgia line, handcuff me, stand me in front of the judge, kick me in the shins, and say, I do. I was willing. This is what I wanted. And when you choose a role, friend to friend, or you choose a role as a wife, you choose a role of submission. It is the will of God. You choose to yield. You choose to meet the need of your husband, and you're gifted to do that. God doesn't ever ask you to do something that you have to use willpower and bulldog tenacity. He's going to gift you by the Spirit of the living God to be the one who yields and to yield with great grace, to be the one who's gracious, the one who's inclined to bestow favors. Now, husbands aren't here today. If they were, I'd say things a little differently. I believe very strongly that husbands who love you like God loves you are going to be easy to yield to. But what if they're not? What if they're grouchy old has-beens? Well, I'll tell you later what we're going to do with them. That doesn't change your role at all. What Wayne does doesn't change my role. It doesn't change my perspective. It doesn't change my job assignment. It doesn't change my God-given ability to yield. He wants to be ugly, that's on him. Now, he's very seldom ugly. Everybody's ugly a time or two, you know. He's not ugly too much. I can't fix him. I'm not in charge of him. It says judge yourself. It doesn't say judge your husband. It doesn't say judge your friend. Now, it says in reverence to the Lord or in respect for the Lord or in the fear of the Lord, the King James says. Now, if I really liked you and we had a real good relationship, but you had a child that was obnoxious or a husband or a relative that was always tagging along that was so hard to deal with, I would respect them because I had such respect for you. I would deal with them even though I think, she's bringing him again. I wouldn't say that, though. I would deal with him because of my love and respect for you. And because I know God so loved the world that he gave, and I know his sacrifice was the entire world. It was for the world good, bad, and ugly. It was for those that were kind and those who were moral, though they didn't know him. It was for those who broke every law and every commandment were hard to deal with and abusive. God's love supersedes all things. And in respect for the sacrifice he made for everybody, even the obnoxious, I yield to you. I submit to you. I give myself to you. I interest myself in you because I love God. Now let me show you that in Scripture in 1 John. Don't lose Ephesians. I don't teach this lesson very often. When I got up this morning, I wondered why I was doing it today. I thought, oh. 1 John chapter 5. I didn't bring the translation of that. I should have. It's excellent. Whosoever believeth, verse 1, that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. The translation says, everyone that loveth God loves the children of God. If you love God, you love his children, you love his family, you love all of those for whom he died. And you're equipped to do that. He's not asking you to reach out and find enough love to do that. He's asking you to reach in and magnify the love of God that's shed in your heart and let that love pour out of you. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, wives are going to submit. Friends are going to submit. You know it's easy to submit to a friend. I say, you want to have lunch? Let's go have Oriental food. And you say, I don't really like Oriental food. I say, okay, what do you like? I don't have any problem with doing that. We'll eat what you like. If we have any dissension, it's because you want to eat what I like and I want to eat what you like. You know, we're going to out-yield one another. That's the only dissension and struggle we should have. But when it comes to sometimes a family member, whether it's a husband or a mother or some other family member, and they say, I don't like Oriental, and you'd say, well, I really wanted Oriental today. You'd take a stand. We are obnoxious and hard-hearted to our family. Now, I've been reading a book. It's a psychological book, not based on Scripture, though I find its content is scriptural. And this man's lady said, she's a doctor, and she said, we measure our friends with a cord that has a lot of elasticity, giving us some stretch. And we measure our relatives by a yardstick that won't bend. And I find I just was so enlightened by that. I find that's absolutely the truth. And I said, Wayne, I really wanted Oriental. Don't you want Oriental? It's a good day for Oriental. I'm not willing to yield. I should be as willing to yield to my family as I am to my friends. Yielding is right. I should be in agreement. I'm not going to say, well, listen, if you want Oriental, you have to go by yourself. I'd say to Wayne, I'm just not going to Burger Biggie today. I don't like it there. I'm not going. You'll have to think something else. And I take out my yardstick that says, I will have my way, and I make my demands and commands. 1 Corinthians 13 describes love as love is never selfish. The translators use three words, which I like. It says, love never demands its own way. the word demand, it's words that can be interpreted as a command. If I make a demand, I'm not giving you any options. Some writers say love never insists. It has equal impact. And the other one says love never pursues. Well, if you pursue, it's the same word you use if a cop pursuing a criminal. He intends to get that criminal. And I intend to have my way one way or another. And that breaches the love of God. It breaches the nature. That's what I want you to see. It breaches who I am inside. It breaches and contradicts the love of God, which is in my heart. Now, I want to be real hard on you today. I don't want to be, but you just have to digest this in the love and spirit which I go deliver it. So, he never lets me have my way. So what? I can't do his part. I can't do mama's part. I can't do your part. I am supposed to yield. And I am supposed to submit. And I am supposed to be agreeable and not strife-ridden. And that's the way it has to be no matter what anybody else does. You know, Pastor always says, if nobody else does right, we will. You know, the rest of my family, I said very casually, and people are, you know, offended, but don't be offended. I said, if Wayne goes to hell, he goes alone. Because I'm not going. See, and if you want to be obnoxious, I can't be obnoxious. Now turn to 1 Peter. Let me show you another scripture. Jesus is our example of how to deal with relationships. What a wonderful example. Verse 18, chapter 2. Servants, be subject or be submissive to your masters with all fear or reverence. Respect for their authority. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. That's the warped and twisted and difficult. You have a difficult employer. You go right on being who you are in God. Being obedient to his commission, putting out the paperwork that he's asked you to do. If he's good, that's a great thing. If he's gentle, that's a great thing. If you have a loving relationship, that's a great thing. If he's absolutely obnoxious, you still have to be good and gentle. And it says that to servants who were slaves, who were commanded and demanded, had no rights. Now, then it says, verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow. He left us an example of how to handle difficulties. Who did no sin. That's the first key. Be angry and what? Sin not. Neither was guile or deceit or deception. In other words, he didn't manipulate. See, sometimes we would manipulate the other person. We'd say, oh, you haven't? Have you had Oriental recently, so you're tired of it? See, I'm trying to manipulate you to talk you into Oriental. I said, you know, they have wonderful, it's hot, it's prepared hot. Oh, you would love that. It's not the buffet, you know, where it all gets cold. See, I'm manipulating. I'm trying to talk you in. I'm being crafty. Wrong. We need a buzzer today, don't we? One that goes beep. Here's our example. Who didn't sin? When he was reviled, reviled not. Reviled is you were insulted. Slandered. Somebody in your face. Don't reciprocate in kind. You know, generally the flesh is, you spit on me, I'm going to spit on you. You holler at me, I'm going to holler at you. Wayne and I never holler in a relationship because he pouts. I holler and he pouts. You can holler all you want to, but he's not listening. I learned early on, we've got to do something different. Well, how about following God? That'd be different, wouldn't it? How about submitting and yielding? Now, look in Genesis. Chapter 3, verse 16. Well, let's do chapter 2 first. Verse 20. And Adam gave names to the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. Now, that is not one word. It's not an obliteration of our word help meet or help mate. It's help meet. This is a verb. This is a noun. We would say a helper suited for him. You'll notice the word helper. This is as profound as I get sometimes, most of the time. You know what a helper does? They help. I asked the Lord one time, what does that mean? What does it mean that we help? He said it means you don't hinder. I never will forget it. You're not a hindrance. You were created to help. Your strongest anointing is going to be in your ability to help. You have God-given ability. You are commissioned to help. Now, Wayne and I have been married 46 years, and I can tell you, over the years, the areas that I can be of most help to him. This doesn't knock anybody. It doesn't make anybody imperfect. Everybody's imperfect. One minister said, if you need help, you need help. I love that. Wayne can't find things. I don't care if you tell him what shelf it's on, left-hand side, second shelf, bright red package, he's not going to find it. He can't find it. That's not derogatory to him. That's where my ability to help him, my skill, God-given skill, the love of God, the ability to submit and to help and to love comes into play to fit in with him. To one translator says to adapt to him. Rather than submit, they use the word adapt. To adapt to him and be there to find things. The strongest anointing I ever had for years was one day when Wayne said he couldn't find a particular piece of paper or a book, and I knew right where it was. It was in the second drawer of the secretary, which we don't open very much, and I went right and got handed it to him, and when I handed it to him, the Holy Ghost went, phew! I was just electric. I thought, what in the world? It was because I had fulfilled my God-given role. That's who I am. That's who I am as a friend. I'm your helper. I'm the one who's going to yield to you and see that your needs are met. I want to do everything I can do, no matter how obnoxious you are or how obnoxious your family is. Usually I like you, it's your family, I'm thinking. So I hope you don't mind if I bring so-and-so. You want to say, I mind. Well, you can't say that because you're God's kid. I can tell by the smile on your face, you're God's kid. He chose a helper that was suited for Adam. Adam was commissioned to keep and guard the garden, and God chose a helper that could make sure that that task was done. And I am Wayne's helper to make sure that the commission of heaven that's given to him is done. Now the word sub is under, submission. I come under the mission assigned to him to make sure that that mission's complete. And I'm skilled to do that. I'm gifted by heaven to do that. God has said, you can do this. He wouldn't tell you to submit and say, do the best you can. I know it's be difficult for you. Don't know how you're ever going to make it, but just give it a shot because it'll work out better if you can accomplish that. It's that we've allowed our flesh to rise up. Now she was a helper meet for him. Now look at Genesis chapter 3. This is after sin. Verse 16, God speaking to her after sin. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. The word sorrows are always the word pain, labor. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. The rule of husbands, the submission, thy desire shall be to thy husband. If you have a marginal Bible, it says thy desire shall be subject to thy husband. Are submissive to thy husband. That was God's criteria after sin. One writer I was reading, one theologian, said the fact that woman was a helper did not make her inferior or superior. It gifted her to stand with him and see the task was accomplished. But after sin, women needed more supervision because women are easily deceived because of their emotional capacity. And God gave you the husband to supervise you, to make sure that you didn't run off any cliff hollering. Did I say that right? Mm-hmm. I hope so. And so she was going to be subject, and he was going to rule. Now, she didn't have a name before sin. Look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 2. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. What was their name? What was their name? But now look back after sin, Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. He named her. Adam named her. They were Adam, but after sin, she had her own identity, and he was given the right, the authority, commissioned by heaven to superintend, to supervise. Now, turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm telling you, if we would learn, the strength of wives is the strength to submit. The strength of the body of Christ is to let love reign and submit to one another. The strength of husband is to hold the boat steady. That was his assignment when he said, you rule over her and tell her you submit to him and he'll rule over you. He was assigned to make sure the boat didn't sink in the water. And men's capacity to hold things steady is their greatest gift. Now, we look at that as, you know, they're emotionally unresponsive. You know, I've been training Wayne for years. He still hadn't got it. If I say, how do you like that? It's good. You just might as well know that's the way most men are. That's because God said, don't rock the boat and make sure she doesn't rock and jump out. And that's what women do. Jump right out. I've been training him for years. I said, say this, Wayne, say, wow, that is beautiful. He can't do that to save your life. He just doesn't have it in him. But he is the steadiest sailor on the water. And that's his job. That's his God-given gift. That's who he is. If you recognize who he is, who your husband is, or who your friend is, and you receive them, even though they may be a little different, it's okay to be different. How many times have I said that? I haven't read all my book yet, but there's one chapter in the back that says, is different okay? This lady is on my wavelength. It's okay to be different. You want to leap and shout? You won't bother me. Go ahead, leap and shout. I'll just say, well, you know how she is. And it won't bother me at all. Because we're God's kid. You can tell by the smile on our face, we're God's kid. And submissive we will be. We'll yield to the need of others. We put them in first place. And God will be very, very pleased. That's what God's kids do. And you can be God's kids too. If you don't know him, you can know him. And when you know, if you don't know God, you don't have the capacity to follow these directions. You just don't. Only in God. Submitted in the fear of the Lord. Now look at husbands. Let's go down to verse 25, Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. The only problem we have with that is many husbands are not doing that. And so we think, if he doesn't love me, Christ died for the church. He loved the church sacrificially. It says earlier he was the savior of the body, which means he healed, he delivered, he made whole, he brought to safety. So my husband doesn't do that. One lady told me, she said, I appreciate your lesson, but you don't understand, I'm living with the devil. That's what she said to me. I don't care who he is. You're God's kid. And submissive you will be. You're God's kid. Yielded to heaven. That's what I see. It doesn't matter what he does. Now, Wayne adores me. He loves me. I know that. I wouldn't hesitate to say, if you ask me, would Wayne sacrifice his life for you? Absolutely. I know that. I don't have any problem with that. But marriages that are insecure, they think, if you're ugly to me, I don't have to be nice to you. And you've missed the heart of the scripture. You've just missed God. I have I collect little sayings. I have them in my kitchen window. It says, nice matters. It just matters. No matter. His love is not sacrificial. You know, a husband that loves sacrificially, he's got a big golf game planned. And he gets up and you're sick. You're not doing well. You really need his ability to hold the ship steady and to put into you whatever you need and help you to rise up today because you're not well. But no, he's going out to play golf. Well, that's not love like Christ loved the church. God would never play golf if his family was sick. He wouldn't do it. So my husband would. He's wrong. Okay, listen to this. Wrong actions are wrong. Wrong responses to wrong actions are also wrong. Wrong actions are wrong. Wrong responses to wrong actions are also wrong. See, we get verbal. You never help me. You know I don't feel good. You know I can't manage these children today. You know I have a headache. You know. Or maybe you pout. I don't know if you shout or pout. It won't matter. They're both wrong. Maybe powder's getting less trouble. They tend to explode, though, over time, you know. And somebody says, what happened to her? So I have to seek a solution, a daily solution. This is a daily walk with God. This is adjusting my behavior, not yielding to the flesh. Constantly working on submission. Constantly telling my flesh, you will not rule, you will not reign. God said, and I'm going to obey God, no matter what anyone else does. That's very important. Now look down at verse 29. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. He's supposed to nourish you and cherish you. That means he's supposed to, this is the words from the translation, to feed you, provide for you, care for you, and pamper you. That's my favorite. Pamper you. Said he's not doing that. So what? That doesn't change who you are. It doesn't change your God-given commission. And it doesn't alter your ability to be of help. You were created to help. It's inbred. It's the DNA of women, the ability, the supernatural capacity to be at the right place at the right time. That's who you are. And that doesn't change. No matter how obnoxious the friend, the family. Because you're God's kid. Now look at 1 Peter. Y'all not suffering yet, are you? Likewise, chapter 3, verse 1. Now that likewise is real important. It's connected to the scripture we read on servants. In chapter 2, servants be subject, verse 18, to your masters with fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Likewise, you wives. Now, just like a servant keeps doing a good job as unto the Lord, even though the boss is obnoxious and hard on him. And a wife, be in subjection, or in submission, or yield, be of one mind to your own husband. Now, the reason the scriptures always say to your own husband, because there isn't a separate word in Greek for wife. The word woman is the word wife. And the word husband is the word man. They don't have any separate way to say wife or husband. So in order to keep you from being confused that this is all women submitting to all men, they put to your own. So that you'd get the context. I've not submitted to anybody but Wayne Cumbie, and that's the context. If any obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won by the behavior. The word conversation is always behavior of the wives. Wives, they behold your chaste behavior coupled with reverence. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. What he sees is not how beautiful I am, how well dressed I am. What he sees is my heart for God. And this scripture says that is going to make a difference. That over time. Now, when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I was 30. We had been the denominational church all our life. I thought Wayne would be ecstatic. He was horrified. Absolutely horrified. And when I told him, he didn't speak to me forever. I couldn't hardly speak to him. If I needed the salt at the table, I would never have said, pass the salt, I'd have suffered. You know, I have to watch my sugar, watch this, don't do this, don't do that, more of this, less of that. Somebody said, aren't you going to watch your salt? I said, watch my lips. No. I love salt. Now I don't eat much. I found out I don't do salt like everybody else does, so maybe that's why it wasn't a big deal, because I'm very moderate to less than moderate. I wouldn't even said, pass the salt. So much tension. And I was right. Now, Wayne doesn't know I was going to do this because I didn't tell him. So this is a death surprise. He says, come here, honey, please. He's always wanted to say something. I tell for telling him for the last, since 1977, no, you can't say anything. Bring in the mic, thank you. We had such a difficult time. Women who have trouble in marriage come to me and they say, I don't think you'd understand. I always say, lady, I don't know if you'd understand or not, but I know I do. I've already been there. We had such a difficult time that I asked the Lord, 1977, don't ever do this mistake. I said, when is he going to come around and see that I'm right about the Holy Ghost? And the Lord said, 1980. That was 3 years away. I thought I would die. Just thinking, 1980. And we had a hard time. I wasn't wrong. I wasn't obnoxious. And I'd study all day long, and about 3 o'clock, I'd put all my books back on the shelf and dust and run through the house. I was really speedy, you know, make everything look like I'd worked hard all day and have the supper fixed with dessert and with iced tea. And when he'd come to home from work, I'd offer him a glass of iced tea, and so help me. He said, what are you trying to do, drown me? Because we couldn't get it together. It doesn't matter what the obnoxious friend does. It doesn't matter what the difficult relative does. All that matters, are you submitted? Are you yielding? Are you loving? Are you considering others? Are you placing more value on their need than your own? Are you praying for them and asking God, how can I help them? So, you know, sometimes you just don't know. I don't know. I mean, if flowers and donuts don't work, I don't know what to do. That's my key for life, you know, flowers and donuts. Okay?
The book
on love.
You do
remember those years, don't you?
I do remember those years. How could you forget? The book on love basically is a result of this. You know, she did walk in love. And I would say that she won me over by the love. And it's been good. It was a trying time for me. I eventually come around. I'm slow. Only took 3 years. But we made it. And it's been a good walk together ever since. You know, there's always bumps in the road. But we, together, walk through those bumps, smooth them out with the Lord. And it's just, it's been a good life since then.
It was good before then.
Well, it was in a different way.
That's your only chance, honey. Your behavior is going to make a difference. Look at chapter 2, verse 12, 1 Peter. The word conversation in the Greek always has to do with behavior, not as we would use the word. Having your behavior honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. One thing you need to know, there is coming a day of visitation. If you're praying for them and you're walking right and you're living right, there is coming a day when God's going to give them a chance to turn around. But you know, the first step is, have I done everything I could do? You know, sometimes we don't see ourselves. We're making some mistakes here. We're irritating. If we just wouldn't say that again or do that again. You have to correct yourself. That's the place to begin. Make sure your behavior represents the love of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure that you're doing, you know, I fix dessert for every meal just about. I had supper on the table. I worked so hard. I remember 2 weeks, I decided I'm going to put Wayne first every single time. Every single time, put him first. In 2 weeks, I absolutely collapsed. We had a green plaid sofa. And I absolutely collapsed. It was on a Wednesday night. And I bowed over that sofa. He was working in the yard. And I said, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I had worked so hard. I had submitted and submitted and loved and submitted. And you know, I just thought, you know, that's the end of the road. I have gone as far as I go. And I heard the voice of the Lord. He said, you have no choice. It was easy after that. It was like, this is God's way. See, when God directs, he empowers. If God says submit, there's the power and the ability to do the job. You can do this. Now, this applies for your obnoxious friend. You know, you have a friend, you think, if I never see her again, that'd be a good day. You know that person? Shh. A very wise man of God said, don't run from people, run to them. So don't ever let anybody ignore you and stick out their tongue at you. I found over the years that was very wise counsel he gave me. Somebody didn't speak to me, didn't like me, and I just casually said, well, you know, she doesn't have to speak to me. I don't have to speak to her. You know, I just thought I'm setting her free. She doesn't really care for me. I'm just setting her free. He said, never do that. He said, you be the first to speak, the first to go to her, the first to shake her hand, the first to say, how are you doing today? How's your dog? How's your husband? Did you ever get your new sofa? You know, even though it was 10 years ago, they were thinking about that new sofa. I mean, you know. Don't ever let anybody get away with that. Why? You're God's kid. I can tell by the smile on your face. You're God's kid. Now here's another verse that says the same thing. Chapter 3, verse 16. Having a good conscience, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your God conversation, your good conversation, your God conversation in Christ. I remember the day Wayne was in, and we had a green plaid sofa and a green chair and another chair that was green and brown, I think. And he was in the green chair at Rocks, and he was rocking back and forth. I happened to pass him several times. It was early 1980, and I thought, I said, are you speaking in tongues? He said, I think I am. That's as simple as it was. But for 3 years, I kept saying, I think I can, I think I can, I really think I can. You know the old train song? I said, I know I can, I know I can, I really know I can. And there were days I thought, you know, you do it God's way and you win. Now, I know we have different personalities. Some of us are aggressive, always aggressive. You're aggressive about what you eat and how you dress and how you clean your house. You're loud. There isn't anything wrong with being different, being aggressive. And there's nothing wrong with being low-key and quiet. The aggressive people have to be as submissive as the quiet people. The quiet people still have to yield and be agreeable like the aggressive people. The personality you have is fine with me. It's fine with God. It's who you are. But you adjust all the time to make sure that what you are and what you say and what you do is consistent with the Word of the living God. And that's the key to victory. And I don't say it'll happen overnight. But you allow what you are. Let's read one scripture in Colossians. You allow what you are inside, what God has done in you, to dominate. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filth, communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, saying that you have put off the old man. Who you were as a sinner, how you functioned, you have put that off, you've banished that. And here's what you do. Put on the new man, which is renewed knowledge after the image of him that created. Put on the new man, the life of God you have on the inside, the love of God. Let that, when it says put it on, it means let it dominate you. Now here's what you need to know that'll help you. In 1 Peter, it uses Sarah as an example of obedient wife. And if you read just the context of 1 Peter, you will think, well, she just... whatever Abraham said, she just rose to the occasion, said, yes, sir, Abraham. Oh, that's the way the scripture looks like in the King James. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. That doesn't give you much leeway, does it? Turn to Genesis. Chapter 21, verse 9. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, who was Abraham's son, you remember, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking, in other words, mocking Isaac. Wherefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman, in other words, get rid of her and her son. Now, Abraham had earlier, God had begun to deal with him about Ishmael, and he said, oh, that Ishmael might serve you. He loved that boy. It was his very first. And he clung to him. And she said, get rid of him. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight. And God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. He said, she's right, Abraham. You better do like she said. She's right and you're wrong. She said, kick him out, get rid of him. God said, that's right. He didn't want to do that. God never agrees with wrong. I don't care if it's the head of the household or the helper or the friend. If it's wrong, it's wrong. God is not going to agree with wrong. We have another story of David and Nabal and Abigail, whereas Nabal would not fulfill his financial commitment, and David said, I'm going to go kill all that family, and Abigail found out about it. She was Nabal's wife, and she went and fulfilled the commitment, gave David everything he needed, and she said, you know, you're going to be the king one day. You don't really want to do this. You don't really want to kill all of this. This is going to be on your conscience when you become king. You're going to remember this day when you killed all of us. And she said, my husband is a fool. She stood for right. You have the right to be right. You're not a doormat. A man that doesn't listen to a Holy Ghost woman who reads and loves God and meditates and speaks in tongues is not very wise. God is not going to agree with him because he's the head. The head can be wrong. Here's what I want you to hear. If the head is wrong, you still cannot be obnoxious. I told you so. You cannot be obnoxious. You pray and you say, God, how do I approach this? What's the best way to say, you know, Wayne, I said, this doesn't seem really good to me. I'm a little reluctant to do this. Can we talk about it? There is a right way to correct error. Be sure you do it right. Amen. Raise your hand to heaven. Say, I can be a better friend. I can be a better wife. I can be a better daughter. Now, most of you are like me. Your mother's gone, but some of you. Oh, thank you. I can be a better relative. I can walk God's way. I can. See, it's in your DNA. Spiritual DNA, it's in here. We thank you, our Father. It's just all the truth. We just have to hear it every now and then to brush up. Submission sometimes is we just want our own way. We just want to bulldog through, mow through. But we're your kids. And we hear your word today. It says, be agreeable. Be agreeable. Be agreeable. Submit. Yield. Consider others. Put others first. We thank you, Father, for that word in Jesus' name.